This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, if a property has a storied history, what are the odds of it being haunted? When I say storied, it doesn't necessarily mean tragic either. Just something where a lot of life has been lived. Life in troubled times. Life where prohibition might have been going on, where bootlegging was going on, where sometimes you had to stretch the rules to get by or just go an extra mile or 20 to simply survive. That's what we hear about in our next story. An old house that now is being rented out to some young women excited to be on their own for their first time. The house, however, has quite that storied history. Once owned by a prominent sea captain in the area. One who'd have lavish parties and people coming and going all the time. And there is some of that tragic, curious death involved in the story. Certain people going missing at certain times with not a lot of explanation. Or did they truly go missing? Or are they still in the house? That's the question we ask. Take a listen. Back to the conversation in a second. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-created, and is it ever dietitian-approved and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You're absolutely going to love these. You have over 35 different options to choose from every single week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there's more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day. Love the snacks that they have. What are you waiting for? Get started today and go after your goals. Those two-minute meals are absolutely perfect, especially if you live a busy life like I do. You can fuel up fast and feel good about what you're eating with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. From pancakes to smoothies and more, they have far more than just what you think of. For dinner, they have breakfast items, midday bites, and more. And what I love about it, no prep, no mess. All of it is right there for you, ready to go, and it's fresh, heat, and eat. If you got kids like I do, schedules are crazy, especially with sports and stuff. You can get as little or as much as you need every single week. Customize it for what that schedule may be like this week. Factor is a perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. And sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/ghost50 and use code ghost50 to get 50% off. That's code ghost50 at factormeals.com/ghost50 to get 50% off. This is a story about a haunted house in southwestern Ontario. Two of my friends and I rented this house when we were in our early 20s. It was 1980 when I moved out of my parents' house to have this adventure on my own. I knew I was on my way to rent a house with two of my girlfriends. This was exciting. When they approached me to see if I wanted to move in with them, I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to have my own responsibilities. The house wasn't too far from my family or work. It was perfect. Good location. My friend Eve wanted me to meet her so she could show me where the house was located and what it looked like. I met her at the corner of an establishment across from the river. Standing to the right of me on the corner was a very old house. This house was beautiful. It was very stately looking and still is to this day. I wondered if this could be the house that I'd be renting with her. I couldn't wait to find out. She stepped out of her car and told me this was indeed the house. I told her I couldn't wait to see the inside. The house was situated on a corner lot facing the river, very tall, reminded me of a lighthouse. Dark brown brick covered the porch in front with the pillars made The home have lots of character. The backyard was big enough and included a one-car detached garage. They both entered through the side of the house and went up a few stairs to the main floor. On the right was the kitchen, and across to the left was a dining area. Entering the dining area were beautiful French pocket doors, and entering to the front of the house, another set of French pocket doors. A stone fireplace set against the wall and a bay window sitting area looking towards the river. It was beautiful. The walls were wainscot and mahogany, all through with beautiful shelving going around the walls. Floors were the original hardwood. Off the main kitchen area was the main floor bath. Making her way up to the second level, by way of the staircase, we landed onto a long and narrow hallway that went from one end of the house to the other. We both commented on how long and narrow the hallway was. Looking down the hallway towards the right, we could see a door that was directly dead center with the hallway. It had to be 30 feet away from us. It looked strange because it was situated all alone at the end of this long and narrow hallway. We both finally got enough nerve to walk down to this door, which ended up being a bathroom. We laughed about this. We then turned around and walked down further to the other end of the staircase, noticing to the left that there was a bedroom. I entered it and liked it right away. This was going to be my bedroom. Down further to the left was another bedroom, and this would be Eve's room. After coming out of the bedrooms, we glanced down the long and narrow hallway to the other end and just stared. The actual length of the hallway was 60 feet, to be exact. Eve and I measured the hallway with a tape measure because we couldn't believe how long it was. Entering up to the third level by use of the staircase again was a half bath and two more bedrooms. Going up another set of stairs to the fourth level, I never walked up so many stairs in my life, we opened a door which we thought was a closet and found to our surprise that it was another room, a loft situated at the top of the house. The room had four oval windows, one on each side of the brick, the top of the ceiling, which formed what looked like a top of a lighthouse. When you look at this house from the outside, it resembles a lighthouse from the top to the bottom. The house was high enough so that ships and boats could see it. They were lost on the river. We finally walked down all the stairs to the main level and thought it was perfect for all of us to rent. Eve asked me if I wanted to go with her to check out the basement, and so we did. We walked down the stairs, which were separated. Old wood, no risers, and very, very creaky. Into a basement where the ceiling was so low, we both had to duck down, and we aren't very tall. Eve didn't like the feeling she had, and neither did I. Gave us the creeps. The dull gray color and cobwebs acted upon our feelings even more. Cement blocks were placed for the walls, and we were walking on dirt for the floor. I said, "What kind of floor is this? It's all dirt." Of course, Eve had to open the cellar door, being so curious always. When she did, a cold chill was in the air and gave us goosebumps. She slammed the door shut. I started running for the stairs, and so did Eve. She scurried so fast behind me to reach the top. I said, "Hurry up, lock the door." She reached the top, shut the door, and hurried to lock it behind her. We were scared out of our minds. We looked at each other, and that was it. By the look on Eve's face, I knew then that we would never open that door and step foot in that basement again. After collecting ourselves together again into the real world, Eve and I entered the kitchen to make dinner. It was our first night at our new home, and we wanted it to be special. Eve was Italian, so she made the sauce for our pasta dinner. I cooked the pasta al dente, mixed a salad together with some crusty rolls, and opened a bottle of red wine. We each would have half a glass with our meal. The wine became a nightly ritual. Eve had set the table in the dining room. Her table was a Duncan Fife that seated 14 people. Four leaves were added to it. It was huge, but her table and chairs looked gorgeous in that room. I put on the jazz station, and it was then that we started to relax. Sitting across from one another, we began to eat and chat. I said to her, "I must ask you a question." She said, "Okay, go ahead." I said, "Tell me what you think the basement reminds you of." She sat turning her fork with a spaghetti to wrap around and said, "I think it reminded me of an old spooky ship." I looked at her and started to laugh. She asked me what I was laughing at, and asked me what I thought. I turned to her and said, "A ghost ship?" We both burst out laughing. Eve owned a boutique downstairs and was talking about the new line of clothes she was getting in. I talked about how busy I was at with the law firm I worked at. We were both so excited to be residents of this home, sitting, finally able to relax. The table shook. I looked across to Eve. She didn't make eye contact with me. She sat with her head down eating, so I didn't say anything either. I began to ask her when she would be getting the new line of clothes in, when the table shook again. This time, though, the table shook a little longer than the first time. I took my hands off my plate, put my feet in the air, off the floor, and so did Eve. The floor was shaking the table. It didn't shake our chairs, just the table. We stared at it and at each other. We didn't know what to think. We then jumped out of our chairs so fast we both started to laugh. Then we cleared the table. I said to Eve, "What do you think that was?" And she said, "I don't know," very softly. The rest of the night was very relaxing. Later, we went upstairs to retire for the evening. Eve and I took the bedrooms on the second level with a long and narrow hallway. Our other friend Sharon didn't move in yet, but she would be on the third level. So we went upstairs, started to put on an outfit together for work for the next day in my bedroom. Then I went to the bathroom at the end of the hallway. I heard what sounded like Eve yelling for me. I opened the bathroom door and peered out, but didn't see her anywhere. Then I yelled, "What did you want?" I did not get a response. So I walked to her room at the other end of the hallway, and Eve wasn't there. I went downstairs and found her in the sitting area, past the dining room, listening to her jazz music. "You need something?" I said. She replied, "No, I'm fine." And studied her samples of the clothes that she was to be getting. She'd have left me no if it had been her, I thought to myself. I wouldn't bring this incident up to her unless it happened again. The second night, we started unpacking a few more things to put out on the main level. The shaking happened again when we were sitting at the dining room table. We both looked at each other funny. I said to Eve, "The shaking seems to be coming from the upstairs, too, this time. My bedroom is right above the dining area." We both ran upstairs to check it out. We didn't see anything peculiar. Then the phone rang, and that startled us. I ran for it. A phone was placed on each level because the house was so big. It was my mom. She wanted to come over and visit. While talking on the phone, I was sitting on the landing of the staircase with my back towards the long, narrow hallway. I heard somebody running down the hallway behind me and felt a very cold chill on my back. I said to my mom, "Hey, just a minute." I put the phone down. I didn't know what to think. Nobody was there. I sat back down, picked the phone up, and said hello again to my mom. She asked if everything was okay, and I told her yes. I didn't want her to worry, so I hung up the phone and went back downstairs. The phone rang again, almost simultaneously. I picked it up downstairs this time. Maybe my mom forgot to tell me something, and I said hello, but this time, nobody answered. I said hello again, and nobody answered. At this time, Eve came walking down the stairs. I said to her, "You're upstairs." She looked at me funny and said that she was in her bedroom. I told her what happened in the hallway, and she told me she didn't hear anything, but that her door was closed because she was changing. Eve then had a serious look on her face. She said to me, "Do you think this house is haunted?" And I replied that it might be. Eve then said that she was going to check the history records on the house. I told her I'd go with her. That evening, my mom came over, and I showed her the house. She loved it. Made us tea. We chatted about the place. I told her about a few incidents that we had experienced and then mentioned what happened to me when I was talking to her on the phone. I told her the house might be haunted. She didn't say anything. I told her that Eve and I were going to check the records on the property. She thought that was a good idea. Our other friend, Sharon, finally moved in on the third day. Sharon thought the third floor was so spacious. She took residence on the third level. Downstairs, we sat in front of the fireplace, watched TV. It was such a cozy room. We were finally settling into this new home of ours. Then a bang came from the upstairs, so we ran to see what it was. To our disbelief, we stared down to the floor of the hallway. In the center of the hallway, lying on the floor, was one of Sharon's books. Even I stared at it. I didn't know what to say. Sharon picked it up and took it back to her room on the third level without saying a word. They turned to walk back down the staircase when somebody ran up and down the hallway. he finally heard the strange occurrence. We both turned around, but nobody was there. At first, we thought it was Sharon coming back down the stairs. It sent a chill around us when it ran. We both looked at each other again and headed downstairs. Even I thought it was finally time we mentioned to Sharon our strange occurrences at the house. Sharon was okay with what we told her and still wanted to reside with us. She really loved it too. From this point on, these strange occurrences happened every night. They played repeatedly. The phone ringing after speaking to someone, somebody running up and down the hallway, the dining room floor shaking, the table, and we would hear a loud bang from upstairs, only to find a book lying in the middle of the hallway on the second level. Never heard anyone call my name after the first incident. The three of us finally moved out a year later. The history of the house is it was built in 1810 by a captain of a ship. He had the house built to be tall and to the shape of a lighthouse. No wonder I thought it resembled a lighthouse. This is where the captain resided with his family, his wife and three children, two boys and a girl. He also was a bootlegger. Even I thought that he probably kept the booze in the old cellar in the basement. We never did go back to see what it looked like in there. As of the house right now and the time that I sent this in, it has two trees in the property that are overgrown. One in the front, the other's on the side, where we entered the home. Many sailors would find their way to this house. On the top level, the fourth floor, it said the captain would put the lights on for boats to see it. It's no wonder he built it to resemble a lighthouse. The captain kept the sailors in his basement along with the booze without his wife knowing. They'd make trips back and forth on the river. Their little girl died at a young age of 8. The records show that she died mysteriously. Didn't say how. Newspaper clippings show 10 sailors went missing mysteriously as well. Listed their names and where they were from. Pages and pages of newspaper clippings about this family, who they were, what they did. They were a prominent family and by the sound of it did a lot of entertaining at this house. The bootlegging came upon after the sailors went missing. Articles showed pictures of these men and a picture of the captain and his family. Written on the side of one of the articles, it stated that the captain did have sailors at his home almost every night and kept them in the basement hidden without his wife knowing. They would entertain down there, too, if you know what I mean. Eve, Sharon, and I were glad to have moved on, but did have good times at this house. We didn't feel threatened, just a little startled at times. The scariest place in the house was the basement, as Eve and I found out. It's no wonder from the past activity it had down there. We both firmly believed that the little girl ran up and down the hallway after reading of her passing at such a young age. Thanks for sharing my experience. I love the podcast. Keep up the good work.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.